Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi there, and welcome back to another riveting episode of The Bald and the Beautiful.
Today, do I have to shave my head?
No, because listen, for the first time in B&B herstory, bald and beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, not just two bald uglies.
I am bald from here down.
No. We're just talking about the head bald. I would like to direct your attention to the full, gorgeous, luscious, healthy head of hair. Did you go to Turkey by chance?
Do I look like that?
A Barbie doll?
Have you gone on TikTok and typed in turkey teeth?
Oh boy. I can see the hours melting away from my life already.
People who have gone to Turkey to get veneers.
Yeah.
But like, it's not pretty. It's not cute.
They're horse teeth, giant teeth.
Giant, or like they like file them down. And sometimes there's like dentists who are like, this is not what you do, where they like file down each tooth to a peg and then they put like the veneers over the top. And
hey, thank God, Jesus, whatever, Allah, who, you know, Bob Hope.
No one.
Yeah. That like, I just, for some reason, the teeth were not a problem for me. And I had braces because I had those veneers. There's something evil.
I had orthodontics. Did you have orthodontics? Yeah. Like I had headgear. It was like a jock strap and like a bull bar out the front.
I didn't wear the headgear because I thought it was a little too... Yeah, we know. We can tell. But I didn't want to take my braces off.
Oh, because you loved them?
Oh, I loved them. I couldn't wait to get them on and I couldn't wait. I didn't want to take them off.
It was the 90s. Were they a status symbol?
It was a rite of passage.
Yeah.
It was like, this is what you do at this. I was the right place at the right time. Mm.
Like such a sense of like comfort and conformity and belonging.
Yes. It was like you get your driver's license at 16, you get your braces at 12.
Yeah.
And from 12 to whatever, I was just like, oh, and they would tighten them at and they would hurt.
Did you have, mine was like old school orthodontist.
Elastics?
No, mine was like wire.
Yeah.
You'd like wrap the wire, metal, and then they'd be like the spiky bits and it would stab the inside of your mouth.
Oh, absolutely. And then they would attach elastics from the top to the bottom. And then sometimes they would snap in your mouth. Oh, thrilling.
Gen Z doesn't know what they're missing. Invisalign.
Wait, is that what they're doing?
Yeah, they don't do they do? Oh, I've seen people with braces.
They do metal braces. Do you know what my kind of, it's a semi kink. Adults with braces. Do you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Well, my aunt, who I'm not, that's not my kink. She got braces as an adult, and I just thought that was the coolest thing ever. Mm. Like
actual real life braces. Yeah.
Like metal, child braces, yeah. Metal, the whole thing.
How would you feel about an adult getting like the colored elastics on their teeth? Is it a little infantile?
Is totally twee.
Yeah.
They might as well be wearing a diaper. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But just a mouthful of silver is kind of hot.
I think it's so odd, especially if they have like gray hair and like a job.
You know what you want to do? You want to find the person who's got kind of janky teeth, who's about to get braces, and like, that's where you marry on the bottom floor.
Okay, and it's a good 3-year marriage.
A good 3-year marriage. Well, no. You got to wait until the braces are off, and then you get to enjoy the glory years.
No. Once the braces come off, it's a wrap.
The appeal's gone. But then they've got a lovely, like...
Well, then they move on to another person.
Someone who has a fetish for nice teeth.
Well, imagine if you had a fetish for the infirm.
And then they got firm? And then you're like, sorry.
Yes, it's a transitional, like, you have a series of wonderful transitional relationships. Like, I'm only attracted to guys with broken legs.
You know? It's a temporary.
3 months, like, it's hot for 3 months. You hang out at the hospital. Okay, so you are from, I was just in Australia.
Yes.
You're here.
Yes.
What the fuck is up with that?
So we have planes now. It's the way the world works.
Like ships in the night.
I don't like how somehow our schedules, I mean, our schedules are aligning right now.
Have one and I don't. That's the weird thing.
A schedule?
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
I like fart around every once in a while, but I don't really travel much anymore.
I don't travel much anymore and I like it. I mean, I've just been traveling for the last 6 weeks, but that's been for enjoyment, not
traveling
for
enjoyment is not sullied by the traveling... Oh.
I tell you, it does take a minute to get over it. The whole lead up to this trip, I was feeling that like, oh God, like airports and bags and like, especially going to the UK, like suitcases, hallways, corners, no elevators.
And you have one going through TSA in anywhere in the UK. Mm. Oh, right. This 1 milliliter of mouthwash is going to blow up the whole plane. Definitely detain me for 15 minutes. It's like crazy.
Yeah. But I did have all of that sort of like pre-trip anxiety it wasn't crippling. It wasn't like, I did think, am I doing this for enjoyment? Then I got to Lisbon. I was in Lisbon for a week with my friends Alex and Ronnie, and we just had like a lovely time. Then I went to the UK for like a week to do a bunch of gigs and some meetings. Then I went to Berlin, which I was performing at Pride, but that was like,
do you like Berlin?
Fun. I have a mixed relationship with it.
Okay.
It often feels like the world ended and we had to reassemble society based on what we had laying around. Okay. Like East Berlin is like that.
Okay.
But I've been there like 5 times and every time I'm like, this is the time. Like Berlin is so cool. It's so edgy. I'm so cool and so edgy. Obviously I'm going to fall in love with Berlin. Berlin's going to fall in love with me.
Yeah.
And then it was the Sunday after Pride. I woke up and I was like, you know what? Maybe Berlin's just not for me. And I thought, I'm going to go see the Barbie movie and get a burger. And I walked to the cinema. I asked the lady for the ticket. The next movie wasn't for 3 hours. And I was like, I'll go to another cinema. And a friend from Australia who was in Berlin texted and said, we're going to Horse Meat Disco. You should come. And I was like,
Horse Meat Disco.
All right. And I went and had the night of my life.
Oh, you
and
did?
I was like, I love Berlin.
Oh, she fell in love with Berlin. That's great.
I've had fun times there, but it's more
Wait,
like-
Wait, is that at Berghain? No.
No, this was at, I think it was called Prince Charles. But Horse Meat Disco is such a good party. It happens in like New York and LA.
It happens in LA as well, I think. Yeah.
But they play disco. Like they play like Donna Summer, Diana Ross. There's a very, like maybe one of the gayest moments of my life is when they're playing It's Raining Men.
Okay.
And we were in, like, the dance floor is, like, it used to be a pool. And so, like, everyone's on the dance floor, which is the bottom of the pool. I'm dancing and It's Raining Men starts. And at first I'm like, oh, this is, I've always found It's Raining Men a bit on the nose. It's like what straight people play when they want gayness.
It's like the YMCA kind of.
Yeah, like, you know, really? Like, you know. But in a very queer space, it felt like like I was able to like heal those wounds and dance it out.
Get over your velvet rage.
Yeah.
But I would prefer that to rain on me. Oh. The current, you know what I mean?
Because okay. That's controversial. Hang on.
Wait.
Padam?
Padam.
Are you okay with that?
Am I okay with it?
Okay.
Well,
you just poo-pooed rain on me, so I had to check about Padam.
Well, listen. Kylie Minogue is an untouchable, delightful angel sent straight from heaven. And she will do nothing.
It's music except, to my Australian ears.
Except caress and cajole and inspire and lift up. And I love her so much. She could sing anything. She could sing like, I fucked my husband even though he was dead. You know, like whatever. And I would be like, yes, Kylie, you're really doing it.
I love that despite being like one of the greatest, most successful pop stars in the world, there's still something of like an underdog feel. Well,
yeah, because
I think in the US.
Yeah, she never really, but I listened to it. I watched an interview with her a little while ago, you know, and the rude interviewer was kind of alluding to that fact that she never really made it in the US. And she was like, yeah, well, you know, touring the US is kind of, well, awful. You know, and I was like, tea. Like, it's like, oh, you never hit it big here, so you don't get the pleasure of going to Arkansas, Tennessee.
Mobile.
Oh, yeah. It's like Salina, Kansas. Oh, no. Kylie, what are you going to do?
A Vegas residency.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So it was like, yeah, who fucking cares? Plus, it's like so wonderful to see somebody like, you know, she's what, in her 50s?
55, I think.
In this, her 17th album.
I recall
album.
Being at her 50th birthday.
That's right. You have. She's 5 foot tall, right?
Yeah.
Teeny tiny.
Yeah, teeny tiny. Perfectly well, proportioned in every way.
What do you think about her jacking my whole swag for the the music video? I thought that was a little ballsy.
I did see those memes. People were like, this is just Katya.
Yeah, my friend like, Macy Rodman was like, so I loved your new music video. And I was like, I mean, it's not like, I did invent the color red.
You did.
Yeah. But I love it. She's definitely featuring a facelift of some sort, you know?
She's a woman of a certain age. Who knows?
And it's working.
Yeah.
It's working. And it's just like, she's got that coffee cup. Doesn't mean anything. It's like.
Sliding a coffee cup around in a diner.
Yeah.
Americana.
Is that what it is?
That, I think so. I think I see that music video is like nodding to like a relatable, budgeted Americana kind of like, we're in a diner.
Now we're in a car.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then we're in a hotel.
We're in a hotel. They're all very like American tropes, like a motel.
A motel.
It wasn't a hotel.
It definitely was a motel.
Yeah.
It's all red.
Yeah. How did we get onto Padam? Rain on Me, Horsemeat Disco, Berlin.
So you fell in love.
Do you want to see how far back I can go?
Yeah, you got it.
Berlin, traveling. How'd you feel about traveling? Here we are together. You were just in Australia. Oh, I'm here. God. Why weren't we there?
Jesus Christ.
Do we want to pick up on any of those threads or just keep spiraling?
No, I think we want to go. So you fell in love in Berlin.
It's concentric finally. Circles, I think, conversation.
I think so.
It's not a straight line.
No, mama, time is a flat circle.
Yeah. No, not concentric. What do you call it when it spirals? A spiral?
Spiraling?
Yeah.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Berlin, you finally fell in love with Berlin.
Yes, but I feel like the reason that I fell in love with Berlin was so superficial. It's because, like, I was making out with a hot boy all night on the dance floor. Like, I fell in love and, like, had great time. And
you're
I was
gay. Like,
will I move to Bondi? Will he move to Bondi? Will I move to Berlin?
Oh, God.
And then something happened during the night and, like, it was over. And I was like, it's okay. Pick yourself up, girl. Go find someone else. There's plenty of men at this party. And yeah, I did. And then I left. And now I feel like I have, like, I planted all of these seeds.
Okay.
And now I need to go back to germinate them.
You have to gotta go reap.
Yeah, I gotta go reap what I reap sowed.
Halari.
Oh, if you say R-N-R in an American accent. Okay, do it now. Like as a
R-N-R.
Did you hear it? Say it again.
R-N-R.
R-N-R.
That was like rise up
rise lights. Up lights.
Rise up lights. Like razor blades, yeah. Rise up lights. I think that is so cool.
R&R.
R&R. Like, I've showed you that video of my friend Katie who's like, welcome to Bingor. To me, it is bad, but it's the funniest thing ever. It's like, if you're here for Bingor, stay. You're in the right place. Oh, God. But is it like, have you been following this Drag Race Down Under show at all?
I started watching the first episode and I unfortunately was unable to complete watching it.
That's a very diplomatic answer. for reasons beyond my control, I was not able to complete the series. Thank you so much and have a wonderful day.
I won't tell you what the reasons were.
Have you
put it on?
I'm hitting a wall with Drag Race.
Oh, yeah. We've reached saturation point.
Oh, I think we reached it a while ago. Yeah. Once it started becoming like, and I'm not complaining.
No.
I'm not complaining. Listen, I think it's great that we have McDonald's in Africa, in Asia, and everywhere, you know?
How do they feel about it, though?
I don't know. We have to ask them.
But we never will.
No. But, like, I just can't keep up with it all. And I feel bad because I go on these gigs and, like, I meet these queens who are, like, on the show or maybe, like, really, and I'm like, I don't know who you are.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry.
It's fascinating examining the psychology between the like social structures and the parasocial structures of like drag race interconnectedness of like the franchise the and the franchise. Sisterhood and the.
It's a sisterhood of the traveling franchises.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah. But same. I'm grateful that like Iceland and Brazil and Belgium and all these. I think so.
Angola? There's not probably Drag Race Trinidad and Tobago. I mean, it's probably coming down. Wow.
But I love that all of those regions have an opportunity for the queens in their regions to like, I'm just glad I was on season 6 of the US one.
Seriously, Mary, I think like, I'm so grateful because I think that your season 6 was the end. Mm. And then 7 was like, you know, when the monster like lurches up for one last little like thing at the end of the horror movie, that was 7. And then 8 was just, I don't even know, from 8 on.
Yeah.
And because it was like, I think Bianca killed Drag Race.
It was sort of like, when you're at the top, where else are you going to go?
Down.
Yeah.
That's what season 7 was like. You know, get those, you grease up one of those metal slides and take it down the ski hill. No, but it was like a reset.
I remember
Did you
reading,
watch season 7?
Yeah.
You did.
I've watched them all.
Everyone.
I've watched all the American ones and
up
all of
date,
the All-Stars.
Like up to 15?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Alaska and Willem don't believe that I've ever watched Drag Race in my life, but I really have.
Okay.
But I was reading a book. I think it was Popism. I don't know if it was by Andy Warhol or if it was about Andy Warhol, but it was about that era of like Andy Warhol and the factory and New York and the 90s and the 80s, 70s. Anyway, whenever it was, I really paid attention. And I remember reading it thinking, I wonder when like the next like great sort of queer artistic era will be.
Right.
And then I was like, oh, maybe we're actually in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like Drag Race and the proliferation of drag globally, like we can remember what it was like. Well, this is like just a few years ago, but I guess 16 years ago.
Yeah. No shit.
Yeah.
Fuck.
I moved to LA in 2010 and I think maybe season 3 hadn't gone to air yet, but we all knew Raja had won.
Right.
And it was like this like new.
Yeah, because by season three, it was getting somewhere.
Yeah. And have I told you about when Rue sent me an email? So it was like 2009. I was doing beauty advertorials on Australian morning television for sheer cover mineral makeup.
Of course you were. We're not wearing nothing.
Wearing nothing. It was called sheer cover.
A pussycat wig. Just a, oh my God.
And I had like a bunch of, and this is like essentially a pre Drag Race era, like season two. Uh-huh. And so I had RuPaul's email. Why did I have RuPaul? RuPaul's email used to be on like RuPaul.com back in the year 2003. Yeah. And it was like RuPaul@RuPaul.com.
Yeah.
And I hacked the mainframe. And so I sent an email to that address. And then Ru replied. Now, it was on my old Hotmail account. So I don't have this email anymore.
Oh, I want to see
so I can
email.
Only like.
Let me guess. You, listen up, you honky bitch.
Well, what I realized, I never realized at the time, it was written in Australian. Because you know how she loves.
Oh, oh my God. She loves to dip her toes into the local flavor.
Yeah.
Basically, it's like hello, governor.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah.
And so.
What did she say? G'day.
It was like, g'day, Courtney. I think you're the bee's knees.
I'm real keen for you to blah, 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 blah.
And she said, I love what you're doing. Like she knew who I was, I think maybe from Idol. And she said that I love what you're doing. And she said, I've just started doing this show called Drag Race. And if it's successful, it will give me the cachet I need to be able to start like a, she wanted to do like a drag band, like a live singing drag band. I swear that I'm not making this up, but as I'm saying it, it sounds so unbelievable.
I think they're gonna be like a fracking empire in Wyoming now.
That came true. And she said she wanted to start a drag band, and it was like, and of course you would be the lead singer. I swear to God, this is what she said. I need to like contact someone at Hotmail. Who owns Hotmail now? Microsoft?
Apple?
Do they?
Microsoft.
Okay. Somebody get
Yes, Mike at Microsoft, please. Would you get right on that? Thank you.
And I
that is insane.
I had forgotten about that.
This is tea,
right? This is tea.
This is actually like,
and it was this lovely email, and it was just like, so it was also like one of those, you know, Ru is an icon.
Did she sign it Love Ru or like Ruth Paul or? Anyways, that's so fierce. What was the band name?
That we didn't get into that. I can't remember if it was like she wanted to do a show to create a band. Mm. Maybe it was like another like live singing drag band show kind of thing. Mm. I think.
Wee Wee Paul, I think was one of the name of her bands. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn. I remember you from, I became aware of you way before Drag Race from MySpace.
Oh,
MySpace.
Wow.
And I was like, that
was
that,
I MySpace famous?
I absolutely.
And I never knew?
You must have been.
Me and Jeffree Star.
And Miss Fame.
I'm Miss Fame.
Yes, because she was famous before the show with her YouTube.
Is she old enough to be on MySpace?
She's old enough to be on
MySpace. Hey Siri, how old is Miss Fame?
I would say she's 40 years old.
Miss Fame is 38 years old.
Close
yeah.
enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or YouTube or whatever. Yeah, but I was like, I remember thinking like, oh, I didn't want to go to LA.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to move to New York. But I was like, oh, this girl in LA, she's really, really pretty. What's her deal? And I remember thinking, I was like, oh, she's going to be such a bitch. She's going to be such a bitch. And look, you're just like a delightful ray of sunshine. No, you.
Oh,
I'm talking
me?
About you.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
So, I mean.
Well, when I first moved to LA, Willem had like heard about me from like Rhea and the other girls and had was threatened.
I was going to say, was there like mean girl friction?
She asked me to, when Detox went away to film Drag Race, which we called Summer Camp.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She asked me to fill in for a DWV gig at Wet in Chicago.
Oh, God.
And on one condition, that I had to wear brown hair.
And a mustache. And be from sitting behind the curtain.
So I had
You're
like,
kidding me.
I had a
brown
Courtney
hair
in chocolate star, is it called? With the thin handbag. And it was me, Vicky, and Willem, me in a brown wig.
I mean, listen, you are one of the most gorgeous drag queens in the world. However, a brunette, you are not.
Well, we don't know.
Well, I think we know.
I feel like I'd do a redhead era before I did a brunette era.
Of course. You do, or black even. Ooh. Jet black. But brown.
Ooh. Brown. I did wear brown hair once in like the year 2001. It was the most boring night of my life.
And you also fringe dresser for the snatch game. That was a brunette moment.
Yeah.
But it's just like, it's a head scratcher for me a lot of times. It's like,
yeah.
Why? Are we playing a character? Are we trying to do the princess diaries where we're like, we're ugly because we have glasses on and then we take the glasses off?
Are we being brunette phobic?
No, not at all. Because Alyssa Edwards, for example, natural brunette.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Roxy Andrews, brunette. Yeah. You know.
It works for some people.
Me, I look like a dog. Hmm. Like a dog. If I have brown hair, it's just so strange. Like a dog.
You're a blonde.
Or, yeah, just a blonde.
Have you done a red? Have you tiptoed?
I've done red. I've done black. I've done it all. But brown is the real... If I'm wearing a brown wig, you should call the police.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's like, it's not good. So wait, you moved here. Did you wear the brown wig on stage?
Wear the brown wig.
You did wear it. I did it. What would it look like?
Fine. Actually, there's a video on YouTube of the three of us because the
geek
finished late and the flight was early and we decided it would be a great idea to fly in drag. And so Vicky, Willem and I are going through TSA.
Oh my God.
And
then
it was also a connecting flight.
What?
So we like got out of drag on the plane. And got off in, I don't know, Atlanta or wherever the connection was through.
But so they let you, they look at your ID and then see this thing and then be like, okay.
They like scanned us. I think they like patted down Willem's hair. Like, sorry.
Check the rise of lights.
So ma'am. Yeah.
And what year is this?
2010, 11, I'd say.
My God, I don't think they knew about trans people yet.
No, they didn't.
Jesus Christ. Damn.
It was a simpler time.
And then they just let you go through, no problem.
Yeah. And we got on the plane and got out of drag on the plane in economy, like in the chair, like trying to like take off makeup and like going to the bathroom on the plane to like rinse.
And it worked. You fully de-dragged on the plane.
Yeah.
Do people hate you?
No, I think it was like a long flight at night and the lights were off and like we weren't being like,
oh, well, you weren't being like, wah, yeah, yeah.
Surprisingly.
You weren't doing, there's a stranger in my house.
What makes a man?
If I was on a plane, especially like a business class overnight and there was a drag show, I would kill myself. I would kill myself.
You would just reach for that emergency hatch.
Yes, and we're all going down. This is a bridge to first libraries with children, now airplanes.
Oh, God.
Is in Australia, I noticed that like there were some protests at the drag expo
that we did.
But they had a huge police presence, like just in as a precaution, like a barricade. And I don't even know what happened with the protests. Like, you know, people protesting the fact that they think drag queens are groomers and all that.
Yeah.
Which of course we are. But like
very well groomed.
But by and large, isn't Australia like, or at least Melbourne and Sydney, like very gay?
Yeah, it's very really interesting friendly. Because the conversation around drag and grooming, and I think that also like then extends to like trans people and sport and bathrooms and whatever else. Oh, it's God, all in Australia. It's all, I think, spoken with an American accent.
What do you mean by that?
It's sort of something that's been imported from the US. Oh. And it's not, I think most Australians, even like our conservative, like Fox News, it's called Sky News.
What's it called?
Sky News. When I was on a TV show called Play School Storytime, which is like a kids, like an institution play school. And they have Storytime, which is like a spin-off where somebody reads a book and they have lots of different people reading a lovely book to children. And it's the ABC. It's like publicly funded, like very considered. There's nothing like salacious.
Huge opportunity for grooming.
Well, I read this lovely book
on,
and this was sort of before the drag queen story time thing had really kicked off.
Right.
And I had been on the previous year. It was like a show called Little Kids Big Questions, where they had like a First Nations person and like a bunch of kids asking like questions about First Nations culture, or a person in a wheelchair and them talking about their experience and different, like just different facets of society, having conversations with kids. And I did one that was like, had millions of views. It was so well received. It was so adorable. Mm. No one ever said anything. But then a year later, and this sort of thing started to spark off, and I was at a 10-day silent Vipassana meditation retreat in the Blue Mountains.
Grooming.
When when a senator held up a like laser jet printout of me and asked, why is the ABC using government money to groom children? And in the Senate estimates, there's a like a privilege that exists where they can say slanderous things or defamatory things with privilege, and and it's fine.
Okay.
But even like the Sky News, like the Fox News of Australia was like, what is this guy talking about? Like, this is ridiculous.
No,
we all need to move on. And I was just like, oh my God. Like, because I saw the thing and evolved. I was like them talking about it, and I watched it and I was like, oh, yeah. He's like, this was a lovely show. Courtney read this book that was completely appropriate. It was very sweet. I'd be happy if my kids watched it, sort of thing. And I was like, oh.
Are you telling me that there's evolved conservative news outlets out there?
Like,
Or that they exhibit evolved behavior at certain times?
At certain times, yeah. On certain subjects.
I mean, honestly, like, mama, who gives a shit? Also, the bathroom thing, leave it alone.
Well, they've been poking around trying to find what works for a while. And they finally worked out drag queens and story time and sport, trans people in sport. They're like, oh, here's where we can like really divide nation.
The sport thing really gets tough because people are so, I mean, sports is such a huge industry and it's so serious.
Yeah.
I mean, do you ever watch like American football games where the coaches are on the sidelines with they have like veins bulging, they're screaming and like, they look like they're about to have an aneurysm.
Yeah.
It's like so serious.
But they've worked out that there's these few issues that will polarize us and there aren't easy answers and they are difficult conversations.
Right.
And in order, the thing about those polarizing conversations is that they reduce it to just two sides.
Yeah.
So everything on the other side is wrong.
Right.
And so having the ability to be able to hold more than one truth in your head at one time is what's required. And so when we're focused on what we disagree on, we're forgetting everything that we actually do agree on. And so I'm always interested, like, I think the people at the top probably know exactly what they're doing and that they're using these wedge issues to divide people. But then the people are like, yeah, that's right. And they haven't really thought about it. But then I want to know, like, if we could just take, say, sport, story time, bathrooms off the table and say, like, well, what do we agree on? Do we agree that, you know, trans people exist? Do we agree that people express gender differently? Mm-hmm. Do we agree that they should be allowed to?
Yeah.
And like try and work on like the complementarity of...
Is that a real word?
It is a real word. It's the opposite of polarization. It's this idea that like the opposite of polarization are the things that complement each other and that we agree on.
Okay.
And I just think like we need to get back to that. Like we need to start talking about, well, what do we agree on? Because most like marriage equality, it passed. The sky didn't cave in. Most people are down with the gays.
Y2K happened.
Yeah.
I remember that. Going down.
Mum bought water and canned food. And
I was waiting for like, I don't even know what.
Yeah.
But no shit. Also like, I mean, I think it must be just a distraction from the fact that like, you know, in America we have no healthcare. Mm. You know, you can't, the cost of living is so sky high and then billionaires don't pay taxes, blah, 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 blah. It's fucking...
Climate change, reproductive rights, you know.
Well, that's the thing. Also, like, are you a boy or a girl?
Yeah.
You're like, there was a clip of one of these conservative pundit women talking about the trans activist Dylan Mulvaney.
Uh-huh.
It's like, she's not a girl. She doesn't have boobs. And it's like, it's just like, this is like schoolyard talk.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, the level of it... discourse is like on the maybe second, third grade recess level. It's like, what are you talking about? She doesn't have a rack on her. How could she be a girl? This is crazy. It's like, oh my God.
And I think that's in a weird way why queer people are here to save the world, because we're here to disassemble the binary system and conversation around gender.
Let me ask you this though.
Mm.
So the gender binary.
Mm. Speak.
Yeah. Are you for or against?
I think that there's like obviously biological realities.
Mm.
And I think that there is then sociological realities, which is that gender exists in many ways. Like I always think if I could like talk to like this, the straight conservative man and be like, yes, sir, we both have penises, but do you really think that like we're the same? Because I'm sure in your mind, you see me as less than, you don't see me as masculine or a man. You see me as like some pathetic, and like, let's go with that. Let's take that and extrapolate that, because you see right there that gender is on a spectrum, because you're more masculine and I'm not. Like if we were in the cave people times, I wouldn't be out killing the lions. I'd be picking berries with the women. Like we would be, it would be a meritocracy.
Yeah. No, you'd be doing like silk trapeze or something like that.
Or like, know, I'd be like modeling.
Modeling. You'd probably be swimsuit modeling.
A person swimsuit modeling.
They had them back then. No.
But I think like, if you think about, if you look around the world, right? I mean, I know this is like, it's like flogging a dead horse, this conversation, but I try to think of like other ways to talk to conservative people, like to help them prove what they're saying is true in service of our experience.
Right.
And so I'm like, yeah, we're like, you're this big masculine man. I'm not.
Yeah.
So therefore we have a spectrum.
Yeah.
So let's like expand that out. Let's plot the manliest man to the most, I guess, feminine man, if we had to choose a word, and the most feminine woman and to the most masculine woman. And I feel like that's a Venn diagram that actually crosses over. It's not like, I feel like the most feminine man is more feminine than the most masculine woman.
Okay. But also, of course, it depends on, to a degree, the arbitrary nature of how we characterize masculine and feminine.
Absolutely. Like, you know, she doesn't have a rack.
Yeah, yeah. Where are her fucking tits?
Yeah.
You know, like, just because she's got double G's doesn't mean, you know, she might be out there changing a tire.
Yeah.
With a buzz cut.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Like, so, it's just so reductive, the whole conversation about what we... And that's why I think, like, all of this queer identity is disrupting what people have always afforded to be true. And I think we're now just... unfortunately suffering the fallout, but I think that it's almost like a puberty, like, you know, trans people go through like a second puberty. I think the conversation around gender right now, probably aided by social media and populist politics, it's like one big puberty, like the hormones are raging and we're all just like in the schoolyard saying dumb things. And my hope is that in 5 or 10 years, we will have progressed to a place where maybe 10, 15 years, where society looks back and goes, oh, wow, queer people, there was something so feminist about trans and queer identity. And it really helped to not take away from what a woman is, but take away the expectation of how someone who has a vagina is supposed to behave and dress and act and eat and wear and all of that. And for men, I think men on the other side are actually... sometimes it sounds like, oh, poor straight white men.
Oh, no, men have problems too. No,
but I think they're actually the ones who are suffering the, not the most.
Well, they have a burden.
They have a burden.
They have a burden.
They created it. They created the cage.
They inherited it.
The system created the cage. They're not personally aware of the cage.
Yeah.
And I think that working to disassemble that for them, weirdly, is, I think it's like my kink. And I think I've discovered that through having sex with like straight identifying men in drag and then psychoanalyzing them after they come.
I did the same thing too, if they were available for that, because sometimes they come and they just...
And then they punch you in the back of the head and leave. I had one vomit once.
That's some crying game shit.
I know. I was...
Why?
I don't know. It was like, it was 2001. So
you
was,
were in
it
a could brown wig.
It could have been my fault.
Gel line lashes hadn't been invented yet.
I had wispies on at best. Oh,
God. But fuck.
And I was the top. And
of course.
He came and then he looked at me, looked in the mirror. Queen. We were in the bathroom and he was over the bathroom sink. And then he just looked and he got that look in his eye. And I was like, is he going to punch me? Or, oh, no. And then just vomited everywhere. And I sort of snuck out of the room, put on a little more lip liner. And came back into the room and he tried to kiss me. And I was like, did you brush your teeth?
Okay.
Did you gargle?
This is such a man. This is such a man.
Such a man.
Such a man. Indulge my wildest taboo, then get so sickened by it that I throw up, then get over that, and then take my vomity lips and try to kiss. No. But you know, I think by the time that we have all this gender stuff kind of ironed out and smoothed over, climate change will be like,
yeah,
y'all done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So glad that y'all figured out men, women, and everything in between. Yeah. Here's this fucking tidal wave and y'all gonna drown.
It does feel like a right hand don't look at what the left hand's doing kind of thing. Yeah. Or I think maybe, were you the one who gave me the hand pointing at the moon?
I didn't give you that. I probably told you about it.
Because I have used
the
that.
The finger pointing at the moon.
And yeah. I realized that you have to explain it whenever you say it. Because I thought it was like a philosophy or an ethos. Not an
but
ethos.
It is.
But like, yeah. But when I say to people, you know, drag is like the hand pointing at the moon. And they're like, I'm like, but most people, instead of looking at where the finger is pointing, they just are looking at the hand uh-huh. and going like, wow, what a pretty hand in a uh-huh. wig. Uh-huh. And you're like, no. I'm yeah. pointing at something. Look yeah, at yeah. look at that.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that, yeah, I think that that's the power of drag. And I that's why I do think that, like, I think that where we've been, I think that, like, Black Lives Matter, Me Too, queer liberation are all really important movements that have been created to uplift people who have been oppressed by the patriarchy. Mm-hmm. But we haven't addressed the source. Which is like the, I mean,
the
we
grooming.
Try to. We try to disassemble the patriarchy, but, and I think that like if we try in a weird way to like get talk to men.
Do you think you're gonna, can you envision a world in which like, I mean, I'm thinking like it would be like a Civil War, Russian Revolution uh-huh. type of scale.
Yeah.
But I don't, I mean, you look at all these in America anyways, again, I don't know about Australia. All it's like Congress, you know, companies, CEOs, it's all men.
Yeah.
Pilots, yeah. all men. It's all, it is a patriarchy. It's yeah. all men. How do you practically dismantle that?
Bobby Land. No.
That's right. We got to get Greta Gerwig on the case. Did you like Barbie?
I did.
You did.
I really enjoyed it.
Okay. What about that Ken number? A little too long for me.
A little too long.
Yeah.
We all agree on that.
And that is the conclusion of part one of my positively lovely and certainly scintillating conversation with Courtney. Tune in next week for part two, which promises to be even more sparkling, more interesting, and effervescent. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.